let me in. Shiba shiba, I wanna be closer to you. Shiba shiba, open up your soul. Shiba shiba, let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your. Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There's so much to be enjoyed in and around the Bay Area. We are a fortunate city to have so much artistry going on and all manner of artistry. For example, puppetry. And I can't even go on because I'm going to stop at puppetry because my next guest is a puppeteer here to talk about the Same Boat Theater Collective. I'd like to welcome Sheila Devitt. Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me in today.
Thank you for being on the show today. So tell me, Sheila, how did you get into puppeteering?
Oh my gosh. I am an actor by profession, studied acting in college, and studied a wide variety of performance forms. Mm-hmm. And when I first moved to San Francisco and was just auditioning for every theater company all over the Bay, mm-hmm. One of the very first companies to cast me was a puppetry company, Lunatique Fantastique.
Ooh. So You took puppetry classes in college?
We didn't have any particular classes. We studied just a little bit of puppetry as part of like different performance forms. Mm-hmm. And I had studied it more academically, but not so much technically or hands-on. Mm-hmm. I had done a fair amount of mime and improv. And so those skills helped to transfer a little bit when I started performing as a puppeteer.
Okay, so only having the academic skills, it's sort of like they threw you into the deep end of the pool. So like how quickly were you able to gain the skills that you needed to be a puppeteer?
That's a great question. I think it happened pretty quickly and pretty naturally. I was working with a fantastic ensemble, and mm-hmm. as puppeteers, we physically work very close, like arms and legs intertwined as we are manipulating the same puppet. So,
oh, so you're one of those people like in the Avenue Q, where there's all kinds of people.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there are several different forms of puppetry, and I've worked with a few different ones. So mm-hmm. I have operated a marionette manipulating strings from above.
Okay.
I have worked in an adapted version of Japanese bunraku style.
Okay.
And I say adapted version because the Japanese form is highly, highly technical and takes very many years to mm-hmm. learn and master.
Now, I know what that is, but my listening audience doesn't. So why don't you tell them what bunraku is?
Yeah. So Japanese bunraku puppetry features a puppet that's probably about 1.5 to 2 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And the puppet will stand on a table. And there are three puppeteers who operate it. So mm-hmm. one puppeteer operates the head and one hand.
Mm-hmm.
The second puppeteer operates the other hand and the waist or hips.
Mm-hmm.
And the third puppeteer operates the feet. So you've got sort of top, middle, and bottom, and
okay.
three puppeteers working together. And Lunatique Fantastique uses that style, but probably a little more casual. And that company in particular developed their own found object style. So instead of having a master crafted, finely detailed built puppet,
mm-hmm.
they would make puppets out of things like a teapot and a napkin set.
Oh, or like an old, like, oh, we found this crushed doll's head and we mm-hmm. think it would make an excellent mm-hmm. puppet.
Yes.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So I know I derailed you by asking what bunraku is for our listening audience.
Yeah.
So you said that, so talk now more about the stuff that you do.
So I'll talk about the show that I'm working on presently, and this is a production called The Plastic Life of Mr. Z.
Okay.
And this is with the Same Boat Theater Collective, and we have a number of different puppets in this show, and oh, goodness, this is a show about single-use plastic consumption. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the different objects that are being manipulated here include things like your plastic takeout containers for your food delivery, your to-go coffee cup, and it also has a message about how these single-use plastics can end up polluting our waterways, our bay, our ocean. So so then a number of our puppets include marine life. Like a whale and a jellyfish and a bat ray. And I'm working with two other performers in this show. One of them is the character of Mr. Z, and he's played by a young man named Rowan Wiramantri. And the other actor is our narrator, Pamela Williams. And they interact with our puppets. One of the puppet stars of this particular show is an octopus. So I get to manipulate not all eight, but as many of those octopus tentacles as I can with my two arms.
That is a very cool. I want to talk a little bit about the proliferation of plastic because, you know, you get takeout food, you get this plastic and it's like, well, do I save it and reuse it, which I normally do, but then it's like, but I'm wasting all this water washing this plastic thing, and it just seems like there's no eco-friendly way to deal with it no matter what. You're either putting it in the ground or using valuable resources. So what in The Plastic Life of Mr. Z and how they're addressing it, what solution do they offer for this sort of conundrum?
You bring up a conundrum that is at the heart of the play, and I want to mention that the play is written by Lisa Kang with collective members Piyush Kumar and Paul Heller, and it's directed by Robin Pluchok. And Robin and I have worked together as puppeteers with Lunatique Fantastique, so it's great that we have this prior experience together to bring to this show. She also works for an organization called StopWaste.org.
Okay.
So she's bringing a lot of hands-on steps to implement for individuals and companies and cities and larger institutions. So you mentioned, you know, sort of our individual choices. I get takeout. I have my plastic container. I wash it. That uses water. I recycle it. It's hard to find an ultimate perfect solution. So we look for whatever steps that we can take to implement. So where we can use our reusable coffee cup and our, you know, reusable water bottle, that's great. We're also looking at where we can implement institutional and organizational changes. So I heard recently that a national coffee chain, their branches in one town in the North Bay are not going to be using plastic cups anymore. They're going to be using only recyclable cups, which is an amazing step. That's a really significant change. We're talking about looking at schools and where school lunch programs might be able to switch from a disposable item to a reusable item. And when we're looking at an organizational system like that, that can really make a big impact. So we have our individual choices. We're looking to make institutional changes within companies and public organizations. And then we need to look at who is manufacturing plastic. And see if we can't manufacture less of it.
Yeah, because I often wonder, because when I'm dealing with the many plastic containers, because Indian food is delicious and it comes in the plastic, but I think back to, like, you know, in the 70s, there wasn't that much plastic. When people were delivering food, it was usually in, like, I think cardboard boxes or what. And I wonder how how easy it would be to go back to that, because then when you think of even the boxes that we get now, they're coated in those forever chemicals. So it just doesn't seem like there's any kind of sustainable way to manage that.
That's right. One section in our play talks about coffee cups, and we think that the coffee cup should be either recyclable because it's paper or compostable if it's wet paper. Mm-hmm. But those coffee cups are often coated in plastic, which makes them neither recyclable nor compostable. So you're right. The proliferation of plastic containers has really accelerated in recent decades. And when I think about my grandparents' generation, a lot of these products simply did not exist.
Right. But I don't think they were doing as much takeout either. So.
Right. And you're right. There is a different lifestyle, a different tempo. So it's interesting to take the sort of high-level, holistic view of how our lifestyle incorporates these manufactured, as you say, forever chemicals that then end up in our waterways and in our bodies at significant health risks, and really looking to close that circle so that we as individuals are making the choices that we can to bring less plastic into our lives. But we do also have to look at the organizational and the manufacturing, the systemic production of plastics, and look at what those options are for different kinds of containers.
I read or listened to a news story that there's plastic now in, you can find traces of plastic in every living organism. And they're even finding plastic in the placenta now, and that just freaks me out. It's to me, that's like a harbinger of doom.
It can feel really scary, and I think one of the joys of working on this particular play, it will be presented for a coastal cleanup day. So Saturday, September 23rd is a coastal cleanup day for the city of Berkeley. And this is part of a larger statewide effort for California coastal cleanup. So it gives people an opportunity to do something tangible to help pick up trash, and it gives a very visible and visceral connection to how we use plastics and how that ends up in our waterways. And one of the things that we've been discussing as we've been working on this show is that we do want to give a message that has some element of hope, some element of optimism, because it can feel very scary and fearful. And if we sit in that fear, it can sometimes be paralyzing. And it feels like there's nothing I can do that will make a difference. And in fact, that isn't true. There's a famous quote that is flying through my brain.
Is it about the mosquito?
No, it's about a single person's efforts do can affect change.
Yes.
It can feel like what I do doesn't matter, but in fact, what I do does matter.
Yeah, I saw something that said, if you think you're too small to matter, try sleeping with a mosquito in your room.
Yes. That's a very small thing, and it does matter.
It may seem small on your end, but they can have far-reaching consequences.
That's right.
Now, I didn't know that California Coastal Cleanup Day was a day. Tell me a little bit about that.
Let's see. I'll mention a couple of resources where people can go find more information. So our play will be performed at the Shorebird Park Nature Center in Berkeley, and people can go to their website, which is naturecenter at berkeleyca.gov. Mm-hmm. The Berkeley Coastal Cleanup at the Shorebird Park Nature Center is taking place on Saturday, September 23rd from 9 a.m. to 12 noon.
Oh, totally.
And then we'll perform our plastic puppet performance at 12:30. Okay. And it's a short play. It's 12:30 to 1. It's free.
Nice.
It's outdoors. It's lovely. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Open to kids?
Absolutely.
And where, like, how do you, or where is it located? I mean, you say the name, but I have no idea where that is.
That's a great question. I had never been there before I started working on this project.
Uh-huh.
The Shorebird Nature Park is a lovely park. So, you know, for Bay Area listeners, if you've never been there before, please go find it. It's really just beautiful. And we were rehearsing there yesterday, and I thought, I'm so lucky to get to spend my weekend this way. The address is 160 University Avenue.
Oh, okay. So, but obviously by the water, really, really, really close.
Yes, right out there on the water.
Okay.
Plenty of parking. There are several, there's a children's playground. There are several restaurants that are, I think, right across the street. And then the Nature Center itself, which is a really cool building mm-hmm. that is modeling sustainable design. So it has like straw bale and mm-hmm. solar water heating. So it's a fun place to check out.
Okay. Now, how long have you been with the Same Boat Theater?
This is my first production with this company. I have known a couple of other of the artists that have worked with Same Boat on mm-hmm. previous productions, but mm-hmm. this is my first production with this company.
Okay, and how did you get involved with them?
Through a referral.
Oh, okay, yeah. Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to puppetry because
yes.
I think it's fascinating. So talk about the different types of puppetry that you have done, that you personally.
Oh, sure, yeah. So probably have the most hours with Lunatique Fantastique's style of found object puppetry. So as I mentioned, that might be creating a character out of a teapot and a napkin set.
Yeah.
And I've done several different shows with them that we performed locally in the Bay Area as well as touring to different states. I've done some what you might think of as the very obvious, like children's theater mm-hmm. puppet, where you're holding your hand inside
like
a glove
that's
puppet.
That's like the classic, you know, we all put our hand in a sock and, you know, pretended that we were lamb chop or something, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've done some puppeting like mm-hmm. that. I had the good fortune to work on a production a few years ago with a playwright named Trevor Allen, and he wrote a play called One Stone mm-hmm. about Albert Einstein.
Okay.
And we were working with a puppet builder.
Please tell me you had an Albert Einstein puppet, please.
I operated the Albert Einstein puppet.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Did it have the wild hair and everything?
Yes, it did.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And in that particular production, it looked at the life of Albert Einstein. So we had a young man Einstein puppet,
uh-huh.
a young boy Einstein puppet, and then the, I think what we all think of as Einstein with, the wild hair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I operated that puppet. And one of my favorite moments from that play is Einstein looking through a telescope, and I got to hold the puppet Einstein and operate him so that he was looking through the telescope.
Wow. That sounds amazing. And what was that, for kids, for adults? Who was that?
That was an adult show.
Okay.
It was so that one featured an actor who was playing Einstein,
mm-hmm.
and then parts of the story were told through puppetry. So I was the puppeteer operating the puppets. And we also had a live musician, a violinist,
mm-hmm.
Providing live music throughout that production. So the atmosphere was just so moving and gorgeous with that live violin music.
What happens to the puppets after the show is over?
That's a great question.
Them?
I personally don't. In that case, to be honest, I'm not sure if Einstein the puppet went back to the builder who made him.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
That was Michael Nelson of Magical mm-hmm. Moonshine Theater. Mm-hmm. or it might have gone to the playwright, Trevor, who created it. And I want to give a shout out to Cinnabar Theater up in Petaluma, because that's where we had that show, One Stone.
Very cool, very cool. So so you've done that type. There, I have these shadow puppets that I got from a friend when she went to Indonesia. Have you ever worked with those?
I have done shadow puppetry, and actually I operated shadow puppetry in a production of Lysistrata, directed by the amazing Rodessa Jones.
Wow.
And that was with her company, and we performed over here at the African American
Shakespeare Company.
It was a collaboration with Rodessa and the Shakespeare Company.
Okay.
And she brought in an excellent shadow puppeteer to design and build the puppets, and then I operated them. So we, you know, was telling the classical story of Lysistrata, where the women say, "Men, you have to stop fighting in wars."
Okay.
So some of the shadow puppets in that production would be like, you know, a figure of a soldier marching up a mountain, for example.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, for our listeners, and maybe me, I'm just going to say, what are some resources for learning how to operate? Because, you know, I've collected a puppet here and there. So I have a shadow puppet, and I have like little marionette. What are some resources for actually learning how to use them, as opposed to having them just sit decoratively in a corner?
Well, I'm going to start by saying play.
Okay.
Just play. Play is so much fun. And when you really can just let your imagination go, just like we did when we were little kids, that can really take you quite far.
Okay.
If from there, from play, you really want to develop some technique and some skills. I think there are some different classes. I know that Shadowlight Puppetry is a Bay Area-based company, and they would be a very good resource for shadow puppetry specifically.
For marionettes?
Yeah. I don't know if I have a specific referral for that type. A lot of the different experiences that I've come by have really just been in production.
Got it.
Yeah.
And then I know that I derailed you because I don't even know if we actually talked about what the plot synopsis of the show is.
Yes. So the plastic life of Mr. Z is a day in the life of what might be a typical Bay Area resident who gets up and goes to his job, and his job is to sell a thing, and in the course of his job, he will sometimes work from home. He will sometimes go into the office. So he's got a daily routine that involves going by the coffee shop and picking up that disposable cup of coffee and being at the office and ordering food that comes in a disposable package and ordering any number of things from any number of your online merchants that deliver things packaged in
ridiculously amounts
of containers and filler. And our main character, Mr. Z, starts to not feel so good. And
psychically or physically?
Physically.
Okay.
He starts to physically not feel so good. Right. And he has befriended the octopus.
Ah.
And the octopus goes for a swim in the bay. And Mr. Z decides to follow him for a dunk in the ocean. It's a brisk chill wake up, taking a little dunk in the bay.
That's how you know it's in Northern California. Go on.
And in our production, once he's in the water, then he gets to meet sea creatures in their world. He sees a bat ray swimming by and flying out of the water, and he sees jellyfish, and he sees a whale.
And are those all puppets?
Those are all puppets.
Okay.
Yes. And he meets a whale who unfortunately has encountered some plastic that is making the whale sick.
Okay.
and Mr. Z can help the whale. And when they help each other, they both feel better. And after he's had this experience, it sort of opened up his eyes to all of the life living in the bay and how our actions on land impact their environment and how it's really all one environment. And that brings me back to the name of our company, the Same Boat Theater Collective. We are all in the same boat.
Excellent, excellent. So where do people get tickets? Do they need to reserve it or do they just show up? How does it work?
You can just show up.
Very nice. Very nice. And I'm guessing it's family friendly.
Very family friendly. Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then once more for our listening audience, where and what time for The Plastic Life of Mr. Z?
The Plastic Life of Mr. Z is performing Saturday, September 23rd at 12:30. To 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. It's a short show. Mm-hmm. And that takes place at the Shorebird Park Nature Center in Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And that address is 160 University Ave.
Excellent, excellent. And then do you have any other performances coming up after that?
Oh, thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
I do have a few projects lined up later this fall. I work with a couple of other theater companies. I'm a member with the Actors Reading Collective, which is a group that was born during the pandemic to do Zoom staged readings.
Mm-hmm. How is that working out for y'all?
The readings have been just lovely. Okay. And during the pandemic, when theaters were closed down, it was really a lifeline for so many actors to have some gathering place. And now that theaters are reopening, the Actors Reading Collective is starting to perform live in person. Mm-hmm. But I will be participating in a couple of online staged readings. And we have yet to announce our next public performance, but there will be one coming, I believe, by the end of the year. So that's the Actors Reading Collective.
Okay. And is that on actorsreadingcollective.org? Okay.
Yes.
All right. So anyone can just tune in and see what y'all are doing?
Yep.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. I also am a company member with Theater of Eugen here in San Francisco.
I know it well.
And we will have a performance coming up in December, and that will be a recital of a Keoghan short comedy play, and we are also working on a Keoghan adaptation of the classic Ben Jonson play Volpone.
What is Keoghan?
Keoghan is a classical Japanese form of comedy.
Okay.
And it is the other half of Japanese no.
Ah.
N-O-H. Mm-hmm. So no is the dramatic form and Keoghan is the comedic form.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And it's largely pantomime? Yes? No?
It is. It has a very specific physical style, but it's not pantomime. It's not buto. Keoghan, oh gosh, there are probably some scholars who would disagree with me, but one of the ways that I think of Keoghan is like medieval Japanese slapstick, like Laurel and Hardy.
Okay.
So it's, you know, peasants who are getting into trouble when the master goes into town.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like Akira Kurosawa did Seven Samurai, and there was the one character who was the comic relief that was played by Toshirô Mifune.
Yes, yeah.
Like the sort of over-the-top, big, large.
Right, yes. Yes, that filmmaker has included both classically trained no and Keoghan actors in his films, and they bring that style and that physical training. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Very, very cool. Well, all of those sound amazing. So once again, if people want to follow you and what you're doing, how do they go about doing that?
Oh, they can find me on Facebook at Sheila Devitt and on Instagram at Sheila Devitt. And I also want to give a shout out to one other theater company that I work for, not as a performer, but on staff supporting the work that they do on stage. Mm-hmm. And that is Golden Thread Productions.
Oh, okay.
The first American theater devoted to stories of the Middle East.
Ooh, okay.
Founded in 1997, so we're over 25 years old. And we have a fall production coming up that opens mid-October, and mm-hmm. that is the Reorient Festival of Short Plays.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to have someone from the company on when that opens.
We'd love that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, Sheila Devitt, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
My goodness, Marilyn, thank you so much. And thank you for all that you do, providing this platform and maintaining it as a voice for artists in our community.
Ah, thank you, thank you. Okay, people of Earth, there's so much going on. You know, I love me a good puppet. So the show, The Plastic Life of Mr. Z, a plastic puppet performance for California Coastal Cleanup Day, which you said is
Saturday, September 23rd.
Yeah, so now we know that there's a day to do that, that you can really go out there and pick up things, pick up little plastic things. Apparently, the most common thing that people are picking up in the world is the cigarette butts, and those are highly toxic to everything around it. So you're going to want to just go out there and just be a happy camper. I'm going to give you some Bessie Smith. We'll be talking a little bit later with another guest, so do stick with us.
Smell of smoke and some a time when Brussels was king.
It was a time when Brussels, Brussels.
Pick out a hat so dashing and gay. Go take a walk, it's a beautiful day. Put on your spats and your high button shoes. Get on the tram, get the gossip and news. Not a time for crying. How the heart was flying. There was my grandfather. There was my grandmother. He was a young soldier and she was so much bolder. He had no brains, neither did she. How bright could I turn out to be? Oh, it was the time when Brussels could sing. It was the time of the silent movies. It was the time when Brussels was king. It was the time when a Brussels, Brussels. Pick out a dress so dashing and gay. Go out and dance, it's a beautiful day. Dance in your spats and your high button shoes. Dance on the tram, get the gossip and news. Not a time for crying. How the heart was flying. There was my grandfather. There was my grandmother. He knew how to do it, and she let him do it. They lived in sin deliciously. Now they pray for my virginity. Ho! It was the time when Brussels could sing. It was the time of the silent movies. It was the time when Brussels was king. It was the time when a Brussels, Brussels, sing out a song so dashing and gay. Walk hand in hand, it's a beautiful day. Hop on the tram in your high button shoes. Dance on the tram to the gossip and news. Not a time for crying. How the heart was flying. There was my grandfather. There was my grandmother. 10 million guns got loaded and World War I exploded. It was such fun. Whee, what a game. They saved the world, but I bring it shame. Oh, it was the time when Brussels could sing. It was the time of the silent movies. It was the time when Brussels was king. It was the time when, it was the time when, it was the time when Brussels could sing. It was the time of the silent movies. It was the time when Brussels was king. It was the time when Brussels, Brussels.
Vito Maccherone, sono barbiere un po' più cieco e c'ho le palle di un grosso toro pronto. Un toro seduto che grida un eguaio e a cavallo su un tarallo volato pronto. Sulla scala di Milano, qua fa napolitano, scappa senza scarpe a cavallo. Tutto lo vuole, tutto lo chiede e lui grande coglione se ne va. Possessione, ossessione, osso, buco, pantalone. La mia moglie è militare ma non mi spare. All'illusione di stagione dell'amore in cucina. Pazzo con il mazzo della farina. Un macceraio incasato, che bordello e che guaio. Con parrucca sta rovina bruciatina. Dunque sarà verità, la vita mia. Nei capelli si rivediterà. Il viso italiano, le battenti di lasagna. Campa un formaggio un giorno di maggio. L'alpinismo realismo di Tony Mambo, capo di Pompei. Di Bonsaglio di Bifambo lo fa. Volete un po' di dolce di Bihoffa. Senza scarpe di Cosa Nostra. A cavallo su un tarallo, un barriere cieco cieco. Attenzione, un pennello di rompe le palle. Ah, zitto maccherone, sono barriere cieco cieco. E c'ho le palle di un grosso toro pronto. Un toro seduto che grida le hoio. E a cavallo su un tarallo vola Toronto. Sulla scala di Milano, qua sono napolitano. Scappa senza scarpe a cavallo. Tutto lo vuole, tutto lo chiede. E lui grande coglione se ne va. Tutti lo vuole, tutto lo chiede. E lui grande coglione se ne va.
Thank you.
Ah, you're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. We started the set off with Bessie Smith and Cakewalking Babies from Home. Got to hear from Alice Whitfield and Wolfgang Nittel and Brussels from Jacques Brel is Alive and Well and Living in Paris. From Ben Charest, we heard a doubleheader of Checo Checo Barbe and Jazzy Bach from the Triplets of Belleville. It is 12:41. I'm your DJ Marilyn, giving my audience not the blues, but my audience for mind-touching, a little bit of mind-touching. I'd like to welcome someone who touches your mind through music. He's a renowned conductor and artistic director, Jung Ho Pak. Welcome.
It is so great to be here. Thank you so much. And what an honor to follow that beautiful Bach. That was the Modern Jazz Quartet, by the way.
It was Ben Charest from the Triplets of Belleville soundtrack.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It's a great soundtrack, by the way, so if anyone's looking for a new one. So before we get started, I've had you on the show before, but I might have picked up some new listeners, so why don't you tell our listening audience your pedigree?
Absolutely. Again, my name is Jung Ho Pak, and I'm artistic director and conductor of the Bay Philharmonic, which recently has been rebranded. It used to be the Fremont Symphony, but the Bay Philharmonic, it really reflects our desire to be an orchestra for the entire Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And that means programming in a way that really reaches across generations, reaches across ethnicities, and all types of tastes and backgrounds. So we try to program in the most theatrical, the most fun, the most dramatic way possible.
So, to that end, what are you doing that's the most theatrical, fun, and dramatic way coming up?
Well, first off, we got a new home. We are moving to Chabot College, which is beautiful. Over 1,400 seats. It's one of the largest theaters on the East Bay, and beautiful. Chabot College shares a mission of reaching out also to many people, the entire Bay Area, especially the East Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we share that vision. We're partnering with them, moving this gorgeous new theater, Performing Arts Center, and a wonderful campus. I don't know if you've ever been to Chabot College, but it's one of the most beautiful campuses.
Yeah.
And we are bringing our entire four concert series to the Chabot College, and we're starting with our debut on October 1st, which mm-hmm. is Sunday, mm-hmm. at 3 p.m. Go to bayphil.org to check this out, and we're bringing three major Broadway stars. We've got the star of Hamilton, the touring Hamilton, so after the famous composer Miranda, who left and went on to other projects as
mm-hmm,
well,
mm-hmm.
He stepped down, and so Julius Thomas III,
mm-hmm.
who played Hamilton on the national tour, but especially in San Francisco, which is
I got to see him, I think,
2 years ago, he's coming back and joining us with the Bay Philharmonic, singing a whole host of Broadway songs, a little bit of Hamilton too.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then we've got a wonderful young man, gorgeous, beautiful tenor voice. His name is Jason Gotye, and he was in Spider-Man on Broadway.
Okay.
And now he's also with Gossip Girl. I think it's on Netflix. And then finally, the third of the triumvirate is Lissa de Guzman,
uh-huh.
who played Elphaba on tour with Wicked as well. Fantastic voice and experienced Broadway star.
Wow, you got all these heavy hitters. So I'm guessing they're going to be singing their hearts out. So what kinds of numbers will we be hearing from all of them? I know you mentioned that that Julius Thomas III will probably do a couple of numbers from Hamilton, but what are we going to? What's the overarching theme?
Each star will be singing their hit number from one of their big hits, Broadway hit. So Lissa will be singing, she played Evita on Broadway, and so
uh-huh.
she'll be singing Don't Cry For Me, Argentina, plus many other songs that she doesn't normally get to sing. Same thing with Jason Gotye. He'll be, I don't know, this is numbers escaping right now, but he's got this beautiful lyric tenor voice. He sounds very modern, very hip. Julius will be singing Bring Him Home from Les Mis. And that's a song he doesn't normally get cast for. So he takes this beautiful voice and he gets to sing a song. And this, what I'm really, really proud about this, Marilyn, is mm-hmm. that this show has just incredible diversity. Not only do you have Lissa de Guzman, who is a Filipina and half German, and you've got Jason, who's half Puerto Rican and half Jewish, and Julius Thomas, African-American, and me, a Korean-American, talk about diversity on the stage. And I can't think of a better place than being on the East Bay to demonstrate what a modern Broadway looks like today.
So when you guys were doing the numbers, did they have a hand in picking the numbers that they wanted to do?
Exactly. I mean, some of them were kind of fun dream lists for them. For example, we're going to be doing this little tribute to Little House of Horrors. Little Shop of Horrors. Mm-hmm. And so, who played the wild and crazy dentist, and they get to do Suddenly Seymour. We're also doing a tribute to Leonard Bernstein. Leonard Bernstein's on everyone's mind these days because Bradley
movie.
Cooper,
mm-hmm.
the famous Hollywood actor, is releasing just a few weeks later a really highly acclaimed biopic on Leonard Bernstein. And so we're going to be doing his West Side Story, music selection from West Side Story. Beautiful, beautiful music. But, like I said, everything from The Music Man to Hair, the mm-hmm. musical,
mm-hmm.
Sound of Music. We're going to even end the show with a little bit of ABBA, Mamma Mia. So everything from old classic Broadway to new. And we also have special guest stars from Starstruck Theater, which is one of the preeminent community theater companies in the East Bay. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they're so ambitious. They've trained so many young, talented actors. And they'll be making a little bit of a Little Mermaid appearance with Part of Your World and Under the Sea.
Ah, crowd, definitely crowd pleasers. Very, very good. So what's it like for, how does your orchestra respond to doing these, this wide and varied, not quite so classical, but just sort of really all over the place music?
That's a great question. All of us are trained in a classical way. Very few of us have a pops training. We don't get to, get our degree conducting film music or performing film music. But the reality is that's what most of us do mm-hmm. as part of our professional diet. For me, Marilyn, honestly, I love doing pops music. I love popular music.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Well, even this season, we're ending the season with some Tchaikovsky, and then we're also doing a huge Celtic program on St. Patrick's Day, of all days.
Mm.
But we also have a gorgeous, very popular holiday spectacular at the end of December. Go to bayfill.org to look at all these programs. But for me, Marilyn, I'm dedicating so much of my career, whether I'm doing Mozart, Beethoven, or the Beatles, to making people happy. So when I get up on the podium and my musicians are working with me and they see me play and conduct when we're doing music from, a Disney film
mm-hmm.
or the Rolling Stones with as much passion as I'm doing Beethoven, then they know that I take it seriously and that we're going to play with as much passion as possible. And they always give me and match me the same passion, and we all have a great fun. But the people who have the most fun are the audiences
mm-hmm.
because so many times, concert after concert after concert, I hear people going, I have never been to a symphony before, and I would have never thought that I would have enjoyed myself, but you've changed my life coming from now on. And so that is my, you ask me, who's your target audience? Is it someone who's over the age of 70? Is it someone who's, has a European background? The answer is emphatically no. My target audience is you or your neighbor or your neighbor's neighbor, people who have never been to a symphony before, and I know I have one shot to serve them a great meal, and it's got to be something that will be unforgettable for them, and that's my target audience.
Well, with that, where and what time? time and what day for the Bay Philharmonic premiere location kickoff?
Yes. October 1st, which is Sunday at 3 p.m. All of our concerts are on Sunday, although we may think about expanding next year to other parts of the Bay Area as well.
Oh, okay.
But we really want people to show up at 2 p.m., an hour before the show. Why? Because I'm very excited to announce that we, for the very first time in our 60-plus history, are able to offer wine and beer at our show.
Ooh.
This is incredible that Chabot College has really partnered with us to make this a very, very special event, even for them. And we are offering craft beer. We're working with a local craft brewery out mm-hmm. of Oakland called Doka Beer, mm-hmm. which in particular offers flavored Asian beers. Now, what does that sound like? Well, everything from like kimchi beer and yuzu beer and curry beer and all this really interesting flavors. So people want to have a different experience. Come an hour before, and then we're also going to have wine as well and some food. And so it's going to be basically a party before every single concert. And then we give a two-hour show, and then afterward, all the stars that I was mentioning before, all these stars of Hamilton and mm-hmm. Spider-Man mm-hmm. and Evita, they're going to come out and join the party out in front of the theater, and then we're just going to party up for a little bit longer as well.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. And it's a 50-piece orchestra, right?
50-plus.
50-plus. Yes.
And get this, parking is free. And
it just keeps getting better.
It keeps getting better.
So this Sunday, October 1st.
Actually, 2 weeks from yesterday.
2 weeks from yesterday. Oh yeah, you're right. I don't know how to read a calendar. Okay, so so for the people who may not know where Chabot is, where is it?
It is so incredibly convenient. I mean, I cannot think of a more convenient place if you're from the West Bay, coming over San Mateo Bridge or down the 101, if you're coming from north, from Oakland, or up from San Jose. It is so incredibly easy. Chabot is located right on the west side of the San Mateo Bridge.
Oh, okay.
The east side of San Mateo Bridge inward, right at the connection of the San Mateo Bridge and the 101. It literally is like maybe a 60-second drive off of the freeway. So for wherever you are on a very easy drive on Sunday afternoon, mm-hmm. you just come on by. But definitely get your tickets online and get them early because this is a big, big event for us and a lot of people are going to attend.
So where do people get tickets?
Bayphil, one word, Bayphil, Bayphil. By the way, Phil is short for Philharmonic.
Okay.
Phil. And I love the word Philharmonic because it means the love of sound. That's what the word Philharmonic means. And so bayphil.org.
All right. Well, Jung Ho Park, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And I'm going to thank you in advance, or the listener is going to thank you in advance who is about to win this pair of tickets that I'm going to give away for the October 1st show at 3 o'clock. But they should get there at 2 because they can get their drink on and get some nibbles and party with the stars.
Yes, exactly.
All right, and are you going to be one of the stars that's going to be milling about, or will you be preparing?
I'm going to rub elbows with everyone who wants to rub elbows.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Cool. So if people want to meet you, they can.
Yeah, I think my singers, my star Broadway stars will probably be in the mood of preparing. But after the show, we'll kick off our shoes and we'll definitely party with everyone.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, and I've enjoyed your shows in the past, and I know I will enjoy your shows in the future.
Oh, thanks, Marilyn. That's really nice of you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, people of Earth, there's an opportunity to go hear great music. That is October 1st at Chabot College. And the views are beautiful there, like crazy beautiful. So you'll be You'll just be gobsmacked if you do go. It's just about time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford, who'll be pleasuring your ear hole. But I'm going to have to throw in some Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. This is my favorite song. It's called Chitty Face.
You're my little Chitty Face. My coochie, coochie, woochie, little churchy face. Every time I look at you, I sigh.
And you're my little teddy bear. My lovey, lovey, dovey little teddy bear. You're the apple strewed hell over mine eye.
Your choochy woochy nose, your choochy woochy eyes, they set my heart aflutter.
Your oochy coochy race, your oochy coochy gaze, wilts me down like melting butter.
You're my little choochy face.
And you're my teddy bear.
Together we're a choochy woochy oochy coochy pair. Whatever you may ask becomes my heavy task. I only live to serve you.
I never will divine what magic made you mine. I only know I don't deserve you.
You are my little choochy face.
And you're my teddy bear.
Together we're a choochy woochy oochy coochy. Choochy
woochy.
Uchi.
Coochie.
Choochie, woochie, hoochie, coochie.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Oh, and I nearly forgot to let you guys know that on September 22nd at 8 p.m. at the Brava Theater, there's going to be Mission Rebel Number 1, looking for Reverend Jesse James. Composer David James reimagined San Francisco in the 1960s. That's happening September 22nd at 8 o'clock at the Brava Theater, 2781 24th Street in San Francisco. Francisco also at on September 24th at 2 p.m. at Mitchell Park Community Center in Palo Alto. And I do have a pair of tickets to give away for the concert that's happening at Chabot on the 1st. So if you want to give me a call at 415-346-5376, I will give you a luscious pair of tickets right now.
Although I'm young, I got a job to